He went back into the den under the pretense of returning the reference book to its shelf. Frowning down at the book, which he now felt foretold his doom, Barry flipped open to a random page. It probably opened more easily to that page, because Dania had spent a lot of time there. It had a half-page spread with a gorgeous full-color illustration of a splendiferous fairy lady in a soft pink fairy ball gown, bestowing a magical blessing onto a baby, her wings outstretched and her one tip ablaze. On the opposite page he saw, first in some Celtic dialect, and then translated into English below, a rhyme he knew well, as the rhyme used by fairy godchildren to summon their fairy godmothers. He knew it from summoning his own mother, soothed as a child when she'd appear shortly thereafter, in sparkling warm red light. Come like sun, like morning dew, come like stars in navy hue, come like deer to rivered glen, come like lioness to den, come like bird to yonder tree, come fairy mum, watch after me. Barry had certainly never imagined being summoned with the fairy rhyme himself. He looked at the placid expression of the woman in the illustration, dreading a sudden future where people could just call him at will, and he'd have to show up in the form of a sparkly ballerina and give obeisance to their every whim. Barry felt something touch his back all of a sudden, and he flinched and whirled. Nick was withdrawing his hand but had snuck up behind him and touched his wings.
"What are you doing?" Barry demanded, feeling invaded upon in his already compromised state.
"Sorry, I..." Nick started. "You can feel that?"
"Yes," Barry affirmed irritably.
Can, Nick stuttered. "Can you feel those, too?" Expression sort of dazed, he extended a finger toward Barry's swollen chest, like a mosquito entranced by a bug zapper. Barry grabbed his brother's pointer in his slender fist.
"You touch, you die."
Nick's eyes grew wide. "Sorry, you just don't look like you. It's so weird." It made sense to be strange and even scary from an outside perspective, seeing someone change before your eyes like that. Barry released his finger and sighed.
"I know, it's pretty messed up."
Nick's gaze was still lingering on him with confusion.
"You know what it's like? Those flip books we had as kids, where you could switch which head was on which body and which legs? And you could mix up the scuba diver or the princess and put the bodybuilder's head on the princess's body?"
Barry knew exactly the books he meant, and remembered well how hard they'd laughed as children to see how ill-fitting the square head and chunky, muscular neck of the strong man looked superimposed on the thin, hourglass figure of the princess. It was the brokenness of the image that made it amusing.
"Not that you're really a bodybuilder, usually," Nick stipulated with a smirk.
"And it's not just your head on a girl body. You're like all... integrated." He motioned to Barry's current figure with a wavy hand motion. A punchline. That's what this whole fairy business was boiling him down to. Nick's description made him feel like a funhouse mirror version of the person he had hoped he was growing into. Barry turned to the bookcase so Nick wouldn't see the hurt in his eyes.
"Thank you for reducing this entire horrific experience to a children's comedy book. I really appreciate it," he said sarcastically, nestling the compendium of Fae back in its home on the shelf.
"No, I'm just trying to explain why it's so freaky," Nick dug the hole deeper. "You are just you, eating breakfast, being dorky." He motioned to the left, as if that was where normal dorky Barry sat.
"How was I being dorky then?" Barry protested. He'd felt confident and cool-ish anyway, before all this.
And then wa-boom, Nick motioned to the right, making an explosion with his hands. "Sparkles happen, and suddenly you're all jugged out like a fashion doll."
It took Barry a second to process what Nick meant by jugged out, and then he felt his face flush with embarrassment. He pictured what Nick was describing, his body deforming grotesquely and bimboishly.
"Why do you always have to make things gross?" he deplored Nick.
"Hey, it's not my fault you look like the all-grown-up version of a Victorian baby doll," Nick retaliated, "whose dress shrunk in the wash."
Barry was shocked into open-mouthed silence for a moment.
"I do not," he insisted,
hoping Nick was exaggerating for his own twerpish reasons. That was probably the worst comeback of all time, but he was too concerned about the accuracy of Nick's mockery to come up with anything more clever and digging just then.
"Yep," Nick maintained smugly, clearly pleased to be getting to him. "Like a little boy who got querious and tried on Mommy's makeup and bra."
Rage bubbled up inside Barry and he felt his face grow hot. Nick's ridicule was far too close for comfort to what he felt was happening to him against his will on this worst birthday ever. He did feel like a little boy accidentally playing fairy girl dress-up. There was no comeback that would suffice this time, so instead he used the closest weapon at his disposal. He stomped on Nick's bare foot with the spike of his purple, glittery high heel.
"Ouch!" Nick yelled out, grabbing his foot and hopping up and down dramatically. "Jeez, Baz!" Barry returned his smug smile to him, feeling mildly vindicated.